late, but not 20 minutes late. So I'm not going to go over very much. But I wanted to start with prayer this morning. I'm going to teach out of James chapter 3. So that's where we're going to be at, is James chapter 3. I'm going to share about wisdom. But I want to pray for wisdom before we get started. And I want you to think about an area of a point of pain that you have. It could be physical. It could be just a relationship. It could be financial. It could be your home, in your home. It could just be a decision you have to make. And you need wisdom. And I want you to apply when I talk today about that wisdom, the godly wisdom, not the other wisdom, all right? Not ideas, not things you can do, but godly wisdom. So let's just go ahead and take a moment right now. So, Father, we thank you for the gift of wisdom. And we thank you for the giver of wisdom. We thank you for wisdom as a presence around us, somebody that we can access to talk to. And we just take these areas of pain, these areas of points of maybe confusion or lack of clarity or opportunity even. Maybe a good thing's coming, but we don't know where to walk or how to walk in that. So we ask for that wisdom. We know that your wisdom is deeply spiritual, yet fiercely practical. So God, we know when you speak to us and you show us and you give us that gift of wisdom in certain areas, it is not just a word, it's something more than that. It's substantial, it's tangible. So we say this morning as a group, as your body, as family, that we want the fullness of your wisdom in our lives, but specifically this morning in this one area that we've brought to you. So just take a moment and just thank God for wisdom in the decision you have to make. Thank God for wisdom in your current relationship that's a problem, that's causing you pain. Thank God in advance for wisdom that he's going to give you for job, for children, for marriage, for your health, for your finances, for your house, for your car, for your time, what you're supposed to do, for your vacation this summer. That God's going to give you wisdom. Thank him in advance right now. Just take a moment. Might be as simple as thank you, God, for the wisdom that you've given me in the past. And somehow I've neglected that you're going to give me wisdom in this situation. But I want to thank you in advance for wisdom in my marriage, in my finances, in my parenting, in my relationships, and how I operate my home. We just thank you for that wisdom. Amen. So we're in James. And this is kind of an introduction to a series that we're going to start on the Summer Acts series, where Stevie and I and a few others will be sharing out of Acts. And we're going to talk about a lot of the more mystical things in Acts, and we're calling it something like Where Heaven Meets Earth. And I'm actually going to ask you to read in June, I'll give you an email hopefully this week of a book to read. On some of those things. We're going to be talking about a lot of things that make a lot of people either uncomfortable or in a position of they already know about it. And both of those positions mean that you don't need any wisdom. I'm uncomfortable, so don't tell me anything about it, or I already know about it, so don't tell me anything about it. And what we want to do is we want to come in a refreshing of the things of the Spirit of God and the Acts of the Apostles in the book of Acts. We just want to talk about those things. And so we want to talk about things like demons and tongues and all of those things that can divide people and all of those things that can divide people talking to other people. In fact, I had in my mind, I'm going to start with this, is like, I want you to like find somebody that's not your spouse, that you don't know that well, and say tongues, yes or no. Trump, yes or no. Hillary, yes or no. Demonic oppression, yes or no. And really, really like, because it's so uncomfortable. But what we're going to learn in this book of James, this portion of James about wisdom, that wisdom from above is approachable, it's discussable, it's peace-giving, it's fruit-producing. It's completely different than that creepy, weird, awkward feeling you get when somebody brings something up. And as Christians, we're really, really bad at communicating this amazing thing we call God, the gospel of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And our job is not to be better Christians, but it is to communicate his love and his affection for us better and better. I'm going to be in James 3, verse 13. And in the NIV, mine says two kinds of wisdom, okay? Now, 1 through 12 is titled Taming the Tongue. So 1 through 12, we have the wisdom of taming the tongue and how hard that is. And in 13 here, we get two kinds of wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. Who is wise and understanding among you? So there are some wise and understanding among us this morning. Not all of you are wise and understanding, but some of us are wise and understanding. But I would say all of us are wise and understanding in some area. And it might be an area of expertise that you don't think is that much. And Giselle, when she spoke, which she did a great job speaking, we just didn't get it on tape. But when, can you give her a hand? When Giselle spoke, it was really neat. It was like when she's a doula and she can be with a family, a husband and a wife, as they're entering into having a baby, and they have a baby, and she leaves feeling like she didn't do very much, and she always gets a comment or a card or a call that says, it was amazing to have you there. It changed everything for you to be there. So that's something where she is. She has wisdom and understanding, but her wisdom and understanding to her just feels normal, okay? So everybody in here has some wisdom and understanding of how to run your home, of how to be married, of how to be a great employee, different things that you have, different spiritual giftings and practical giftings that you can share. But how do you let them show? You don't tell everybody about them. You show them by your good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. There are deeds that we're called to do that come from wisdom. There are deeds that you are called to do that come from wisdom. It could be a Bible study. It could be one person that you commit to at work that you have lunch with every week to talk about Scripture. Maybe it's not even talk about Scripture. Maybe it's just to be with them once a week that you're committing. There's deeds to be done that come out of wisdom that God gives us. Verse 14, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, so the wisdom that comes from envy, selfish ambition, wrong motivation, boastful, when you're denying the truth, that wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Once again, we're talking about there's only two choices when it comes to wisdom. There's not this denomination's wisdom, and then this denomination's wisdom, and then the world's wisdom, and then my favorite author's wisdom, and then the wisdom of Scripture, and then the wisdom of demons, and then the wisdom of God. It's God's wisdom and all the other wisdom. And we just found out here that all that other wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Most of us choose from the wrong tree when it comes to wisdom. When it comes to talking about or thinking about or praying for your marriage or for your kids or your finances, we choose the wisdom that we want to apply instead of going to the tree of life, to godly wisdom. And then we're all upset and we want to pray harder, we want to work harder, we want to work the demonic wisdom harder and harder and harder, hoping that it produces something spiritual and something righteous in our life. And it never does, and it never will. And that is exhausting religious Christianity. When you take the demon's wisdom, even if you read it from a book that's using Scripture, and it's coming from a wrong place, a wrong heart, and you're applying it from a wrong place, a wrong heart, I will be in control of my healing, of my finances, of my marriage, and this is how I will be in control. That's earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Over here is God's wisdom. So where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. I love this because I hate disorder, by the way. I hate disorder. I hate to start late. I hate things not to be in order. Ask anybody in my family or anybody that's ever worked for me. I had a policy for everything as a school administrator, even how fast you had to get the notices off the windows when you were doing an event or announcing anything. You better have them off the minute that event's over, and you better tape them upright. So you know, do you know how to tape things upright? You don't go catty corner along the edge. You go up and down. Then you can pull the whole thing off. Then at the end of the school, you don't have 50 or 60 pieces of tape on every window. I like order. Okay? I do. And there's people who like order more than I do. Thank God. I thank God that a lot of my desire for order has been redeemed, and it's been a good place, a good thing to put things into order and help people put things into order, because order is not a bad thing. It can be used in a bad way. There you find disorder in every evil practice. So when you have this demonic wisdom, this sensuous wisdom, this earthly wisdom, there will be disorder and evil practice. Now, I read this over and over and over again. I'm not sure if you have this wisdom that disorder and evil practice comes in, or if you have evil practices and disorder in your heart, in your way of thinking, and then the demonic wisdom comes in. I think it's both ways. You can be walking in some godly wisdom, doing some godly things, and then you can begin to live in disorder, where you preach what you don't live, where you give people advice that you don't take yourself, where you begin to find where you have to tell people something, you have to use your gift, and it becomes a selfish thing, and you'll find disorder in every evil practice. So if there's any area of your life that's in disorder, you need to check it out. Are your finances in order? Is your health in disorder? I mean, I can list where there's disorder in my life. I can actually, I'm getting so sensitive to my feelings. I can, no, oh, stop. Some of you, it's prayer time for, I am aware of when there's disorder in my thoughts and my emotions. And man, that has been a huge blessing after it really hurt my feelings and was embarrassing that I had disorder in certain areas. Because when you're single-minded on the wrong thing, it still feels good. Still feels righteous, but it's self-righteousness. And I had a lot of that single-mindedness on wrong things. And to have the whole big picture is to walk in wisdom. So look and see where there's disorder in your life and see if you're choosing ungodly, demonic wisdom. Verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Does that list, and I'm going to go over that list again, does that list sound like something you're hearing on the television news at night? Does the news you're hearing sound pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, producing fruit, impartial and sincere? Do your conversations along the topics of demons or tongues or Trump or Hillary or the economy, do they follow along this wisdom right here? Does it sound like this wisdom? Are you acting out of this wisdom? Or are you acting out of the wisdom and talking out of the wisdom that you're hearing come through your television, your talk radio, your newspaper, and things like that? So I'm going to go through these very quickly, just give you, so pure, it's really cool that it starts out with purity, because we don't think of wisdom as being pure or having a quality of purity, but it's really a righteousness before God, a pure standing, an inner quality, and when there's that purity, and we're in right standing, and we are in right standing, but when we recognize and think and feel and relate to people in our right standing with the Father, then these other things will follow. So we don't have a list of things to do. Once again, our hard work comes in our relationship with Him. And when we realize how pure that relationship can be through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus, we then can talk to people and have a peaceable conversation, a gentle conversation. So purity is important. Peaceable. Now, it's interesting. The word peaceable here is used to come out of a painful process. So it's peace that comes out of a pain. It's not just peace because there's peace, but it's peace because you fought hard to stay in your relationship with who God is. You keep finding yourself at the foot of the cross every time you come across that idiot that likes the person in politics that you don't like or likes the preaching that you don't like. You've come into peace with who you are before the Lord, and your conversation completely changes and your actions around him completely change. I mean, Jesus could have had peace had he taken up Satan's offer. He was being tormented in the wilderness. Peace was offered to him, but he wanted the peace that they're talking about here, the peace that comes beyond, passes all understanding, but the peace that comes out of a painful process. Most of us get out of the painful process. We stop doing ministry. We stop helping people. We stop giving. We stop living in fullness. We stop believing for something, and we pull out, and we get a managed sense of peace. And we're not in the job and the ministry and the marriage that we're supposed to be in and the relationships and friendship and the fullness that we're supposed to be living because we choose a wrong sense of peace. Now, gentle, I'm being more and more known for gentle than I used to be. But you know, this, when I was reading this peaceable and gentle, I kind of connected it with this article on yoga I was reading while I was in Seattle that people in big cities are going to yoga and they're going for 50 and 60 and 90 minutes of complete controlled atmosphere, and they're going through some painful poses to release their mind, to gain some clarity, to be quiet, because they're living unconnected in a city that's super loud, super busy, and everybody's wanting to get ahead of everybody else. So yoga is actually maybe a jump ahead of where we're supposed to be as Christians, because we're supposed to be able to offer them that peaceful, gentle setting, that purity, when they're in front of us talking about difficult subjects. That's why we invite people into our home. That's why we drive people to doctor's appointments. That's why we eat lunch with people instead of eating lunch by ourselves every day. Because we're praying, we're thinking, how can I bring peace, my peace that I've got from him, into that guy's world, into that lady's world? Willing to yield is one of my... wisdom that is willing to yield is something that I'll probably teach on later, but it's one of the most annoying aspects of wisdom from above. Because to me, wisdom shouldn't yield. You should wield wisdom like a sword and cut off people's whatever you need to cut it off. All right? It's I'll say it in truth. And if they don't believe the truth, I'll say it louder. If they don't believe the truth, I'll start lying about why I'm right. So but it says here, the wisdom from above, the wisdom from God is yielding. It's discussable. It's full of mercy. It says here it's approachable. And you know, I find more and more, and I might have been one of these people years ago, that the more contentious we are about our spirituality, the more contentious we are about how our religion has to be right, is almost a false passion, because we're afraid that if one brick falls out of my way of thinking, then the whole thing falls down. But I don't have to defend anything, because I know what I know and where I stand with him, and that's that rock, that's that cornerstone that my wisdom is built on. So if one thing falls out to be not true, if that one pastor that helped me so much, that spoke into my life a new anointing, that pastor falls away and becomes just awful, or he falls into immorality, that's okay. That's just one brick that was going to be weak, that was going to be washed away. I want this wall of stone built on him. So I want things to be willing to yield. I want the truth that I demand today, I want to be able to go, oh, wait, I'm in error right here. I want to switch that. And I don't mean going from one side and swinging all the way over to the other side, because we have a lot of that going on the last couple decades. Staunch religious person over here hates Christianity. Staunch moral person over here doing all the wrong moral things. Right here, you know, super believing all of this, and all of a sudden, every path is the way to God. I'm not talking about that kind of yielding, but the discussion that you're having with your brothers and sisters in Christ begin to eliminate some of your false belief. begin to draw away some of the wrong ways you communicate, things that are true, but you communicate them in such a way that they can't be heard, that they can't be received, and that the Holy Spirit offers us that wisdom, and we yield to His wisdom. And then, full of good fruits. I love that wisdom produces something. And I don't mean just something inside. It does do that. But you have to remember, God's wisdom produces something outside of us. It says in Psalms that His wisdom created the heavens and the earth. His wisdom is creating something in you and through you and for those around you. Do you see that? His wisdom is not just you want to be a smart person or you want to do ministry. It's he's wanting to replicate His life through you, in you first, and then through you. So the people that you're around are living in peace and in comfort and in joy. And that means peace and comfort and joy and all of those things in the internal part, but that will then reflect in the external part. Without partiality, not being tossed back and forth, but secure in what you believe, and with sincerity or without hypocrisy. Now again, is that the kind of conversation you're having with people around you? This is typical what the conversation sounds like. You walk into a room, six or seven or eight people, and somebody makes a big bold statement about how much they hate some preacher or how much they hate some politician. The room closes up, doesn't it? Or if people aren't just quiet, somebody will agree, he is an idiot, I do hate him. And it sounds like wisdom when two people agree passionately on a wrong thing or on a right thing for wrong reasons. It's still the wrong thing. It's the wrong wisdom. It's the same way when we talk about spiritual things or when we talk about people that we might be helping. We give them all the ideas of things they can do, and even those of us that work with people struggle with asking God for wisdom. I was talking with somebody last week, and we talked about, doggone it, how come it feels like sometimes we're just walking in our own path in our own ministry? And we're like, yeah. And it's a little bit embarrassing to recognize that, but we often think that we have it now, God's kind of watching us back there, and we'll take it from our past experience, we'll take it in our ministry gifting, we'll take it from what we already know, and that's still my own wisdom, which is not godly wisdom. All right. I'm going to skip some of this stuff here. So it says here in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 11, rather, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor no heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except his own spirit within him? So too, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. You know, I when it comes to this, the wisdom of God is yielding. So if no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined, if it's mind-blowing when we're going to go into heaven, we're going to see the Father, when we're going to go into a different life, we're going to go into the second part of our eternal life, if that is true, how can we then think here on earth that we have any one thing all figured out? How can we talk like I know exactly what every marriage should look like and what every husband should do and what every wife should do? How do I know about all the politics? How do I know? How do I know that? So it's got to, our wisdom is yielding. It's discussable. So when we talk this summer, I hope you are willing to discuss things. I hope you're willing to disagree. I hope you don't dig in quietly and burrow down and just get past the speaking in tongues conversation or the hard conversations. Because that is not the wisdom of God either. That is not humility. That's fear. But I hope you don't like dig in and build a fort around you. I'm going to protect everything I believe when it comes to politics and religion and life and what everybody ought to do. I hear it all the time. You know, Giselle and I talked a little bit before she spoke, and I think they called it nursing wars. Nursing wars, you know, it's like everybody should nurse wherever they want all the time till your kid, you know, gets braces. I'm kidding. Oh, or it's over here. Nobody, you know, it doesn't matter that nobody should nurse in front of anybody ever. And it's all judgment. It's all a wisdom that says, I want to be right. I want to be right. I want to be in the right camp. And the louder I am, the more I surround myself with people just like me, the more right I'll be, the better I'll feel about myself. That's why we go to church where everybody agrees with us. That's why we go to church where everybody likes the same thing. That's why we never, who goes to a workshop or a conference that you already don't like? But we see in the Church of Acts, you have slaves, quite possibly with slave owners, because there's not 150 churches in a 10-mile area that you can go to. There's one. If people of all colors, of all races, of all social classes, you have some that are coming out of Judaism, you have some that are coming out of Roman things, you have some coming out of, you have women coming in out of sex, club, worship, idolatry type temples, and they're all coming together. And they're all coming together around one thing. What? Their idea of morality, their idea of how to interpret scripture, their politics, their background, what kind of car they drive. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And the purity of just him and them. And it quickly, that purity quickly starts getting pushed away. That's what a lot of the epistles are about. Wait a minute. Who's deceived you to make you think that this amazing thing that started in you, you can now take over and start doing all the work yourself? That God will complete this good work that's been done in us. I like this at the very last here of James. It says, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. You know, when we think of sowing, we only almost think financially, which I'm a believer in financially sowing. But I tell you what, sowing is painful. You're taking something that's of value that could feed your kids, a seed, grain, and you're putting it into the ground and you're burying it. It's painful. And it's painful to get the ground ready. You know, up in the hill country, not the hill country, but over like more Fredericksburg area, you see where you have a lot of the rock walls, and that a lot of that comes from Germany and the Scottish and stuff like that. And they had to take their plows with their mules or their horses. And they'd get that rock and they'd stack it up and they'd build those rocks. It's hard to sow. It's a painful process to walk into a harvest of righteousness. It's a painful process, but it's worth it. It's worth tearing up your land and dying on it in order to produce a harvest for you, for your children, and your children's children. It's worth struggling in your finances, of being righteous and right in your finances, in your words, in your time. It's worth it to sow that and to walk in godly wisdom. You know, in Matthew 13:54, people start asking, where did Jesus get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? I like where wisdom and miraculous powers go hand in hand. Do you think Jesus was just sounding smart? No, he was sounding smart, but he was resonating deep beyond their mind alone into their hearts. And something was happening. You know, this word Sophia, the root word for sophistication is Sophia, the art of using wisdom. What if we, during this political season, what if we, in sharing Christ, became sophisticated, became better at the art of using wisdom? What if our words were more sophisticated? No, don't throw in these and thous and King James and stuff like that. But what in philosophy is the same is the affection for wisdom? What if we had an affection for godly wisdom? Now, we have a great affection for 24-hour news cycle, so we know everything that's going on. We know everything that's going on above the surface. Almost nothing what's going on below the surface. But what if we had an affection for wisdom and we had an increased sense of an artful description or communication of the wisdom? Because as believers, we have what everybody's looking for in the whole wide world. There's nothing that somebody says, I want or I need that we can't give them. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing gift. So Jesus tells us where he gets his wisdom. Anybody want to guess? From the Father. He gets it from his dad. He says, I get it from my dad. I don't say anything. I don't do anything unless I hear it or see it being done or said. So I want to pray for you this morning in that area. It says in Colossians 1:9, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. How many of you want to walk in more godly wisdom? So half of you, all right? Let me ask you that. How many of you want to give up the ungodly wisdom? Okay. Because you know what? Often we have to give up that ungodly wisdom before God gives us that godly wisdom. So go ahead and bow your heads.